Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Friday edition of the Hoosier Report here live with you today. And of course, a big weekend, Indiana and Ohio State forthcoming on Saturday. Question marks, though. I mean, there obviously were question marks or are question marks anytime Indiana takes on an opponent with the history, the tradition, and currently the team that Ohio State has. But even more question marks about where the Hoosiers stand and what they can do tomorrow. With news yesterday that Michael Penix will be a game-time decision tomorrow for the Hoosiers when the kickoff of Ohio State at Indiana begins at noon. So big stuff there. Michael Penix will be seen, a playmaker, the kind of guy I think that you really need to see do some big things and cement his place as the starter and as maybe somebody that can be a big change maker in this IU football program with a big performance tomorrow if Indiana is going to somehow slip out with a victory at home. But it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Will he start? Will he not? If he doesn't, Peyton Ramsey, obviously the logical choice to get the snaps on Saturday. Played well against Eastern Illinois, but again, there's just something about Penix. I'm not a football guy. I don't understand all of it. I don't follow it extremely close. I do watch Indiana's games. I do follow the program closely. But I like Penix. I like what he brings to the table, and I like what he could be at Indiana as a starting quarterback. So let's hope he's healthy, but make the game probably more entertaining. And I think we'll find out where this IU football program stands. Win or lose, competitive, not competitive, a lot of things that can tell us maybe what to expect against some of the other Big Ten competitions, some of the other solid-tier games forthcoming on the IU football schedule. So a big one coming up on Saturday. I'm looking forward to it. I know that it's not a primetime start or anything like that. I can think back to the Ohio State game a few years ago, which was like a Thursday night. It was kind of the start of college football season. It seemed to really have a lot of oomph to it in the background with national TV coverage and so forth. And this one has some as well, but a noon game, and I like it. It's a good way to start the weekend, start the Saturday. And we'll see how Indiana does against Ohio State on Saturday. Lots to get to today. It's a busy time with football and basketball. And, of course, I want to remind you about our high school football coverage tonight. Every Friday, Southern Indiana Football Fridays, we have wraparound coverage of the area, and we'll do so again tonight. But our coverage all starts at 6 o'clock with the Kentuckiana High School kickoff show. It's where we preview the big games on both sides of the river. We'll be previewing New Albany and Floyd Central in the 6 o'clock hour tonight, and also a host of other games on both sides of the river. So make sure that you're with us on your way home from work or maybe on your way to a football game tonight. And, in fact, we'll also have that show for you at 7 o'clock tonight because our feature game, New Albany and Floyd Central, has been bumped back to an 8 o'clock kickoff. So we'll have kickoff show from 6 to 8. Then we'll go to kickoff at 8 o'clock with New Albany, Floyd Central, our game of the week here in Southern Indiana High School football. But we also have the opportunity to get some play-by-play coverage from the Big Jeff Challenge tonight. Jeffersonville plays at Columbus East. So we'll bounce to that game. I hope we're bouncing to that game late, but we'll definitely bounce to the game early and see how competitive the score is once things get to halftime and into the third period as well. But basically, New Albany, Floyd Central, Jeff, Columbus East, those are the games that we'll focus on. We'll have call-in reports from other games in the area tonight. We'll have also a constant scoreboard. So every 10 minutes or so, you can count on hearing the very latest as far as scores and highlights
from across the area. That's all coming your way tonight here on the Big X Sports Radio. Let's take a look at the guest lineup today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. We'll start segment one with our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news brought to you by Zaxby's. Some recruiting stuff, as you would probably expect today. Also, Indiana, Florida State, Big Ten ACC Challenge. We now know the tip time in that contest as well. And Jeffersonville coaching search for the open boys basketball position, the head coaching position, that is, here in the middle of September. Maybe a little bit of news on that. We could be getting close to a decision and finding out who's going to lead the Red Devils, at least for this upcoming year, and we'll talk some about that in our headlines today. I'll recap the high school schedule for tonight as well, and a lot coming up here in this first segment. Also, later today in the program, Jared Morris of the Assembly Call with me. I'm going to talk to Jared. What are his thoughts about Indiana being 11th in Street and Smith's and 10th and 9th in some of the other preseason publications? And is this preseason view by national media and by some of the preseason publications out there, is it accurate? And maybe is there more to this Indiana team with what's returning and incoming that could make them middle of the pack in the Big Ten Conference? I don't think anybody, even somebody that is a diehard IU fan that wants to see Indiana win the national championship and win the Big Ten every year, would go on the record predicting IU in the top, what, five or higher, four or higher for sure. But can this be an Indiana team in the middle of the road of the Big Ten Conference? We'll talk with Jared Morris about that and take a dive into the roster and some other things with Jerome Hunter as well coming up in the next segment. Later in the program, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star with me as well. And that's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's. We have a tip time for the Florida State-Indiana game, Big Ten ACC Challenge matchup on Tuesday, December 3rd. We knew it was on ESPN2, but it's going to be a late start, 9 p.m. tip in that game. It reminds me of IU Duke in that series a couple times. It's been the feature game, the 9 o'clock game, so a late night early in the season for IU fans. And what I think is a big game for Indiana, obviously the Big Ten ACC Challenge is an important early season event. It's an event that kind of lays the trail for not only the conferences but for the teams that participate as well. It's a big matchup. It's a competitive game. I do think it's a big game for Indiana. It's early. A lot can change from that point forward. But that's one that I've had circled on the calendar. I think it will be a big game for Indiana, a telling game for the Hoosiers this season. Also, Jeffersonville basketball, their boys' position open after the resignation of Coach Luce. It kind of shocked everybody as that all unfolded a few weeks ago. And the Red Devils trying to move quickly yesterday. Jeffersonville Athletic Director Todd Satterley said they would be interviewing for the head coaching position. No confirmation on whether that's for an interim situation for 1 year or for a permanent situation for the Red Devils. And I think that things are winding down. I would not be surprised to see a decision come on who is going to lead the Red Devils, at least for this upcoming season, maybe even as early as this afternoon, potentially early next week, but I think possibly early this afternoon, later this afternoon, we find out who is going to lead the Red Devils, at least for the 19-20 season. I don't know beyond that, but some interesting thoughts there. And, of course, what an interesting time for the job to be open. There have been college coaches, I understand, from some of the assistant coaches still coming into the gymnasium. Steve Alford was in Jeffersonville recently to take a look at Trey Coleman, who's planning a visit soon to Nevada, the new home for Coach Alford. Understand that Indiana was there. I didn't see any other published reports of IU coaches there, but I believe it was Bruiser Flint that was on the Jeffersonville High School campus earlier this week to take a look at Will Lovings-Watts specifically, who's a young player, sophomore this season in Indiana high school basketball that I really feel like will garner the solid attention of Indiana. They won't just be checking in on him in some fall practices and open gyms. I think he's got the potential to be a player that attracts that type of serious interest. He's already been to Louisville unofficially. A lot of coaches have watched him. He's got one scholarship offer from Bradley, I believe. So he's kind of the next in that next wave of players to follow once you get below the current junior and senior classes as well. Will Loving's Watts at Jeffersonville. What an interesting time for that job to be open. Practices, limited contact practices have begun. Most teams in the area, now that it's Friday, have had two practices a week, so four total get-togethers where they can actually, you know, hands-on, work on defense, work on offense, get pretty involved in what's going on. So it's an important time of year for development, and whoever gets this job on an interim basis or a permanent basis, I tell you, these early practices, these preseason-type workouts, this is only the second year that they've been allowed. You hear me reference that a lot when I talk about them. It's new. It's new to the coaches. It's no longer just open gym where you run up and down the floor and play, and you've got to sit there on your hands on the sideline as a coach and watch. You can direct. You can coach. You can practice. You can put in offense. You can take it full bore as you want to take it. So it's an interesting time for whoever gets that job, whether it's interim or permanent, to get in there and get to work with all the talent. And whoever gets the job, as they start working with this talent, there are going to be a lot of college coaches in there this fall to watch, not only the seniors and Trey Coleman, who's uncommitted. Of course, Jacob Jones committed earlier this week to Wisconsin Green Bay, but Will Loving's Watts, and even other players as well that have the potential to play some level of college basketball in the future as well. Speaking of college coaches in Southern Indiana, talked with Todd Sturgeon out at Floyd Central yesterday, and I tell you, I know everybody thinks that Floyd Central's year to have a banner season, and they did have a great one, was last year for the Highlanders, led by Kobe Barnes. But from what I've seen this summer and just the word on the street, I think people are going to be impressed once again with this Floyd Central team. And one of the reasons that they'll be impressed is Jake Heidbreeder. He really started to show a lot of his abilities and his shooting last year. That has taken a whole nother step forward in the spring, in the summer, with his Floyd Central team, playing travel basketball as well. Coach Sturgeon sent me a list of, as far as coaches that have been in at Floyd Central at some of their early workouts and practices to see Jake Heidbreeder. Ball State and Bellarmine both were in this week to watch Heidbreeder. Furman is coming in on Monday, he told me. And then, of course, Jake has been holding a scholarship offer from Indiana State. Other schools have been interested in Jake, and I think it's just a matter of time till they come in to watch as well, Evansville and Miami of Ohio as well. So another player right here in our backyard gearing up for the high school basketball season that is getting lots of mid-major level college attention. So pretty interesting to hear that from Coach Sturgeon out at Floyd Central. Couple high school football notes. New Albany, Floyd Central, our game of the week, big rivalry game. Floyd Central, obviously, it looks like starting to put things together. I think there'll be a tough matchup for the Bulldogs tonight. New Albany young. New Albany still trying to find their way. That game has been bumped back to 8 o'clock due to the heat situation. We have had some unbelievable humidity and temperatures, especially when you factor in humidity this time of year. And so probably a smart thing to do, not only for the players who are out there in pads and going hard, but even for fans and grandparents and others, to bump that game back just a few minutes. Again, that'll affect our coverage a little bit. We'll still be on at 6 o'clock with our Kentuckiana kickoff show, but our actual play-by-play portion, our Southern Indiana Football Fridays portion of the broadcast, will not begin until 8 o'clock tonight. And we'll start things out at Floyd Central for the NAFC game. We'll also have some opportunity to check in on Jeffersonville up at Columbus East tonight, and we'll have call-in reports, constant scoreboards from all the local games. Make sure you're with us tonight here on the Big X Sports Radio. Other games tonight of interest in the area. Fairly interesting night of high school football for week four tonight. I tell you, as I look across the area, Silver Creek has got a big opportunity to go 4-0. Providence and Clarksville, you would put the Pioneers, I think, as the obvious favorite in that game. But Clarksville got off to a good start against Charlestown, and the Pirates were able to get past them pretty good in the second half. But if Clarksville can find a way to another good first half start, it could make that, I think, a reasonably competitive game as well. Charlestown, an opportunity to pick up another win at North Harrison tonight. Crawford County is at Rock Creek. That's a look at the local teams here in Clark and Floyd counties as far as how things are set for the action tonight. That's a look at the headlines, our Hoosier headlines presented each day by Zaxby's on this Friday, September 13th edition of the Hoosier Report. Thanks so much for being with us today. Good conversation coming with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. We'll talk IU and some of these preseason predictions for the Hoosiers and why Jared thinks that maybe the Hoosiers could be a little bit lower in the rankings as far as closer to the good side of the rankings than what they are right now, and some other discussion about IU basketball for the upcoming season. Coming up next with Jared, followed by Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. That's all coming your way on this Friday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Friday program. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, my guest. And when Jared is with us, you can bet we're going to talk some IU basketball in this segment. Jared, we've seen lots of preseason publications come out. We've seen the Hoosiers be 9, 10, and even 11 in one of the most recent publications released. It was Street and Smith's College Basketball Preview for 2019-2020. You guys also talked about this recently on the most recent edition of Assembly Call Radio. Indiana, their preseason projections are not very good. However, when you break this thing down at the level that you do at Assembly Call, the level that we try to do on this show each day, there are some reasons that give you hope that Indiana can maybe not win the Big Ten Conference or finish in the top three or four of the conference, but that they can finish a lot better than 11th in the Big Ten Conference. And again, I say the word hope, and I know that we all are hopeful that Indiana can maybe find a way to surprise some people, find a way into the NCAA tournament. It's sure needed, and it's sure the next step for Archie Miller after some of the recruiting work that he's done that's went really positive for Indiana. That said, your prediction for Indiana, and what do you make of some of these very modest and disappointing, I think, to a lot of fans' projections of IU basketball for this upcoming season?
Yeah, you know, you hate seeing the preseason projections, you know, when they're at 9, 10, 11. I don't think any of us want to fathom dealing with a season where that would be the reality, because obviously that would mean a whole lot of losses and not a lot of wins. And we had enough of that last year. You know, I think, you know, when you look at some of these projections for this season, I understand from the perspective of the people who are doing these why they're a little bit down on Indiana. You know, when you lose Romeo Langford and Juwan Morgan, and you look at what Indiana has returning, and I think a lot of times when these kind of projections are done, you know, a big thing that's done is, okay, you look, okay, how much scoring do they have back? You know, what guys do they have back that are double-digit scorers? And that those are kind of easy, hard parts to grasp onto that give you some faith projecting forward, because it's like, okay, well, this guy has scored 13 points a game. This guy has scored 12 points a game. You know, so that gives us some faith in them going forward this season. When you look at Indiana, there's none of that. There's not a double-digit scorer coming back. There's a ton of question marks, and there's a lot of reasons for what happened last season that if you weren't really paying close attention and you don't know the context, you might not be willing to not give Indiana extra credit heading into this season, but say, okay, look at a guy like Rob Phinisee. You know, his numbers, when you just look at his numbers from last year, they're not terribly impressive. But if you remember the context of him getting a concussion, the impact that had, how he was playing before the concussion and how he ended the season, you know that the final season numbers aren't really that indicative of the type of player that he was at times last year and that you would project him to be this year. And so, you know, that can change your projection. You look at how good Indiana was last year when Deron Davis was on the court, and Indiana scored 0.1 points per possession more with Deron on the court. We know that a lot of the losses came when Deron was off the floor. Now, look, it's always a question mark whether Deron's going to be healthy, whether he's going to be in shape to handle the kind of load that he'll need. But if he's ready to play 20 minutes a game this year, that changes the complexion. But again, you just look at his numbers, and it doesn't look that big. You know, the numbers aren't that great. So that's not going to look that impressive. And so you go on down the line with some of this stuff. Same thing with the shooting, where the three-point shooting was awful last year, and I think it's, you know, easy to just project that it's not going to be good again this year. But if you really dig into it, you realize, well, a big part of the reason why the shooting wasn't good is it was Romeo and Juwan, and so the shooting should be better this year. That could help. So you go on down the line with these things, and I think you can start to make a case for why Indiana can move up. Because if you're going to say, well, Indiana is going to be better than 9th, 10th, or 11th, then you have to look at the teams above them and say, well, why are they going to be better than this team? You know, take a team like Michigan. You know, Michigan, you know, on average, I averaged them out and through all these preseason projections, they're 6th, which, you know, given their recent history, makes some sense. But then you think about all the shooting they lost, all the playmaking that they lost. They lost their coach. You know, now you've got, you know, Xavier Simpson and John Teske, who are really good, decorated players who had good stat lines last year, but they're going to be in different roles. Are they going to be able to handle all of that? And to me, you know, putting Michigan at 5th, that seems too high. Same thing with Illinois. You know, they've got a lot of really talented, good young players, but that's a big leap that people are expecting them to take, you know, to get up to 6th, 7th in the conference. I think Indiana can be better than that. So when you combine those two things, to me, I think you can look at the preseason projections and say, okay, Indiana has a lot of question marks. It's reasonable why people are a little bit down on them. But for this reason and this reason and this reason, I think you can also make a reasonable case why Indiana could just as likely finish 6th or 7th in the conference. And, you know, this is the off season. This is when we talk ourselves into optimism. And that's certainly what, you know, what I'm going to do. And you know, you want to believe in the best possible version of every guy's season. But I think if Indiana gets some of those question marks answered in a positive way, it's definitely realistic for them to be right in that middle pack in the Big Ten, be an NCAA tournament team. And, you know, that's not just my hope for the season. That's my expectation for the season. You know, and that's talk's cheap. It's the off season, but that's kind of what I'm feeling heading into it.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call with us. Great breakdown of IU. Again, I know a little unrest from IU fans when you see IU projected to be 11th in the Big Ten, but I think you had a great reasoning behind maybe why some national publications have Indiana that low as far as the Big Ten Conference is concerned for this season. I don't know if you had a chance to check out Dustin Dopierak, who also is a regular guest on this program. He had a really deep preview about Indiana that I thought did have a lot of context, including some that you just mentioned, talking about where Indiana, you might put them in the conference at this point heading into the season. And interesting that he got a hold of Archie. Archie Miller had some comments and some interesting comments at that about the Hoosiers for this upcoming season, and was very bullish, maybe is a good word to use, on Devontae Green and how important he could be if this Indiana team is going to break through in the conference this year.
Yeah, it's a great piece. Dustin is doing fantastic work at The Athletic, and I absolutely think that his content alone makes it worth the subscription. And I thought that was a great piece. So, you know, Archie obviously isn't the most effusive with the media and the most available, and so it's always nice to get comments from him. I thought he had some really interesting comments in there about Jerome Hunter that continue to sound positive, and, you know, that's exactly what you want to hear at this time. And then you're right about Devontae. You know, the thing with Devontae is, you know, I think everybody is trying to talk themselves into optimism with him as much as possible. Number one, because we have to. I mean, there just isn't really a way that you can look at next season being successful that doesn't include Devontae Green scoring somewhere between 14 to 16 points a game and being a consistent presence, which for 3 years in Indiana, he hasn't really been. And I would feel a whole lot more terrified about that. You know, we're all a little bit scared about that because when you haven't seen a guy do it, you know, you wonder if he can do it. But what he did at the end of last season, I think, gave us a glimpse of the type of player he can be. And what gives me hope, and what I think Archie has alluded to as well, is for Devontae, having a clearly defined, consistent role that he knows what it's going to be heading into the season. It's not going to change. That's what's going to be on game one. And as long as he, you know, maintains a, you know, a positive attitude and brings it every game, he's going to keep that role. I think that can really help him settle in and do what he does best, which is be a scorer, be a secondary playmaker, and really be a pest on defense, because that is, I think, an underrated part of his game, that when he's locked in offensively, his defense tends to be really good too. And Indiana's going to need that, because I think that's one of the underrated aspects of this team, is backcourt defense with he, Rob, and Al. I think that could be one of the real strengths of this team. So I think that's so important for Devontae. And Archie, I don't know if he said it last year or if he said it the season before, but he kind of had this phrase, you know, responsibility for production. You know, who are the, and he mentioned Juwan Morgan. You know, who are the guys who are really responsible on a night-in, night-out basis for producing? And, you know, Devontae is going to have to be that guy. And so it's encouraging to see Archie's comments about that. And, again, you know, with all this stuff, we have to wait and see what actually happens when the games start. But I'm, you know, probably of all the podcasts I've listened to and things I've read, I'm probably as bullish on Devontae as anybody. And I'm just really excited to see what he can bring for his senior year. Because I think that's another thing that some of the preseason projections aren't taking into account. I get it. I understand why. But I really think Devontae is going to be a lot better than people are thinking, and that changes the complexion of what this IU team can be.
Talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. Jared's with us on Fridays. Great stuff on IU basketball so far. One other thing from Dustin's story, and it's titled State of the Hoops Program. They've been doing a series where they take a really deep dive into a lot of the Division I high major programs, and you can find it on theathletic.com. But there was some pretty good wording in there in a very positive manner about Jerome Hunter, and it seems like that momentum about him having the opportunity to return and having the chance to return, it's always been guarded. There's always been, you know, optimistic followed by, hey, this is a serious issue that he's battling through, that he's recovering from. But there were some things in that story, just a couple lines, that really have to leave you wondering and have to leave you somewhat hopeful that Jerome Hunter, and of course there's a lot that he has to get back to as far as game shape and will he have the potential that he had, the bounce he had, all the things that made him so intriguing as a recruit coming into Indiana that even had, you know, pro prospect written on him, not like Romeo did at that level, but somewhere down the road perhaps. There were some very hopeful comments or hopeful lines in there that make you wonder if Jerome may not be able to come back at some point this year or maybe at the beginning of the season. Who knows where that goes from there, if that happens. But I think there's reason, and I don't have any facts, just reading through things, thinking through things, I think there's some hopefulness there for Jerome Hunter and his return.
There is, and it's great to see. You know, you want him to be able to resume his career because he's such a talented player. And I mean, I think if you put him on last year's team healthy, I think he makes a huge difference. I don't know if he's a starter, but I think he's absolutely a rotation player. That would have really helped provide some scoring punch, you know, at times when Indiana really needed it. What we don't know about him now heading into this season, even if he's, you know, fully healthy and ready to go, you know, he's now been, you know, away from the game and out for a season, you know, and so it might take him a little while to get back. And so I'm really trying as much as possible just myself and in, you know, things I say publicly to not try to put too many expectations and kind of overhype him. But, man, everybody that you talk to that has seen him play, that sees him work out, I mean, the guy is a hard worker. He's a basketball junkie. He's a really, really talented player. And I think when you start, you know, putting together lineups for this season, you know, the one thing that you're kind of missing is a versatile wing scorer. And that's what he is. You know, this Indiana team has a lot of one-dimensional scorers, you know, guys who are you know, pretty good at certain things, but don't have a real varied offensive game. Jerome has that. He can go inside, he can go outside, he's got range out to the three-point line. So if you can put him into this lineup and he can give you 20 minutes a night, you know, throughout the season, he changes the complexion of what this team can do offensively. And obviously we know the struggles that this team, this program, has had offensively. So, you know, I'm just continuing to hold out hope and, you know, trying not to assume anything. But, you know, let's hope when Hoosier Hysteria comes that he's out there. And let's hope when the first exhibition game comes that he's out there. And I think it's probably going to have to be something that just is taken game by game or week by week. You know, maybe reading between the lines, that kind of seems like what Archie said as well. But every game that he's out there, he's just going to add another dimension to the offense that Indiana can't get from anywhere else on the current roster, and that's why he's such an important player for this year.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call with me, talking IU basketball here on this Friday edition of the Hoosier Report. I've been thinking about this as recruiting has heated up this week, and we've seen Archie Miller and the assistants make a very aggressive week, lots of stops, multiple stops in one day, lots of trips even across the country at times to see key targets, not just in 2020, but 2021 as well. Not just in-state guys, but guys, again, out east in Minnesota, different places. There's so much talk about recruiting at programs like Indiana and Kentucky, and I'll even throw Louisville in here, just in our immediate area here in Kentuckiana. The fans don't just track the games and the roster and what's going on with the program year-round. They track the recruiting, and they follow the recruits, and they want to go see the recruits play. And nowadays with internet and video, you can almost find a lot of games and highlights of players from across the country and even beyond. So it's just completely different nowadays. It used to just be 1-900 numbers for recruiting information and player rankings that came out a couple times a year from one or two sources, and that was about it. My, how things have changed. But with that said, how important is this season from a recruiting perspective? Because with so many young targets in the state, and that's pretty much the case every year in Indiana, but I feel like especially 2021 and maybe even 2022, there really seem to be developing some great players that are going to play elite college basketball somewhere, whether it be for Indiana or someone else. But at some point, these guys under Archie Miller have to see a team make the NCAA tournament, and you'd like to see them make a run in the NCAA tournament, whether that's a Sweet 16 run, whether that's a Final Four run, who knows. But how important is success this season from a recruiting perspective now that Archie Miller has really settled in his time at Bloomington as far as the amount of time he's been in charge of the program?
I think it's vital. I really do. I think, Archie's first season, it's easy to give a coach a pass, I suppose, for his first season if maybe things don't quite live up to expectations. And really, I thought Archie did a good job that first season, getting that team to 500, dealing with, a roster that had been depleted by attrition to the NBA. But then I think expectations were so high last year, and when you have a period of games where you lose 12 out of 13, that just lingers. And it just, it kind of puts a cloud over things a little bit. And so now I think as you head into year three, there's some pressure to overachieve and to kind of course correct for what we saw last year. And I think that's a perfectly fair expectation to put on the coach and to put on the program, really any season, but especially given the context of what happened last year. And I think for recruits, one of the reasons why a new coach gets a big bump is it's kind of a blank slate. And that new coach can sell this vision, and there isn't any real evidence to counter the vision. And now there is a little bit. There's a little bit of evidence from last season, that other coaches can use, and that maybe a parent or a player, it kind of sticks in the back of their mind, okay, maybe this program isn't as ascendant as I thought it was. And if now you're going through year three and it's another slog and the tone on the message boards and on Twitter and other places is all negative, that's not going to help. And it very likely could hurt. When you're looking, when you're trying to recruit a guy like Christian Lander, I think Indiana's done absolutely everything that it can to build the relationship. And that's extremely important. Maybe the most important thing in recruiting is that relationship with the coach. But at the end of the day, he's going to have lots of great offers and lots of good relationships with coaches that have been looking at him for a long time. He's going to want to go to a place where he can compete at the highest level. And, if Indiana has another rough season, then he may not look at Indiana as a place like that. And so that's why I think this year for Archie, and certainly, the next couple of years, obviously, any coach, really has to get things going by years four or five to maintain any type of momentum. But I think just given the context of last year, it makes this year and finding a way to overachieve and be better than these preseason projections and get into the NCAA tournament and get some big wins, have some success on a big stage, I think it makes it really important given the types of guys that they're targeting in this upcoming class and the options that those guys are going to have.
Good stuff. Jared Morris, Assembly Call, always with us Fridays. Before I let you go, thoughts? I know you're a basketball guy specifically, but you do follow the Hoosiers on the gridiron. Thoughts on IU, Ohio State, and maybe a prediction for Saturday's big game in Bloomington?
Well, as we know, Indiana famously has not beaten Ohio State since My dad was there with Coach Mallory in 87 and 88, the darkest day in Ohio football, in Ohio State football history, I believe Earl Bruce called it. You know, one of these years, it's got to happen. I was feeling a little bit better about it with the opportunity for Penix to be in there and maybe make some big plays, because I think you're going to have to make some big plays. So it was, it's obviously disappointing to hear the news that he's a game-time decision, and even if he does play, not going to be, you know, obviously at full health. I think it's nice to have a backup like Peyton Ramsey that you can count on, who's, you know, been in some games. I just don't know that he's the kind of guy that can get you a win over at Ohio State. So I reluctantly am predicting Ohio State to win, obviously kind of the safe pick. But I look, Indiana continues to play Ohio State well. I do think they'll make it a competitive, you know, four-quarter game. And hopefully they can, you know, find a way to make a few plays late. One of these years it's got to happen. Might as well be this one, right?
Absolutely. Jared Morris, Assembly Call, always with us Fridays. IU basketball is our topic. And, Jared, it's great to catch up with you again this week. Good stuff. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the game tomorrow. And we'll catch up again next Friday.
Yep, thanks. My pleasure, Matt.
All right, Jared Morris of the Assembly Call with us. Don't forget Assembly Call Radio. They really broke down some of the preseason stuff on the latest edition of their show. You can find out more at assemblycall.com. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back. Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star scheduled to join us. With Kyle, we'll talk some basketball and some recruiting with in-state players and dive into some of the younger players in our state as well, of interest to follow, and of course of interest to Archie Miller and the coaches at Indiana. To a commercial break we go, back with more on this Friday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Friday program. Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star with us in this final segment as we send you into the weekend coming up here in just a bit. Thanks so much for being with us today. Kyle, always fun to catch up. College coaches on the road this week. We've been tracking every move that we've been made aware of, at least, but from Archie Miller and the IU assistant coaches. And once again, as you and I always talk, so many talented players in our state that, yes, it's necessary for Indiana to recruit out of the state. Yes, specifically in the 2020 class. Any other additions likely are going to come from outside of Indiana's borders. But younger classes, plenty of guys for Indiana coaches to catch up with this week. One of those players who's intriguing to me, I know intriguing to you as well, and somebody I'm interested in learning more about is Blake Wesley up at South Bend Riley. He really is a prospect on the rise in the 2021 class and someone that drew very early in the week attention from Archie Miller, and I think it was maybe Bruiser Flint that stopped by South Bend Riley to visit with him and watch him for a bit. He is definitely another guy that probably because of distance from here in Southern Indiana that we don't spend as much time talking about as maybe a Christian Lander or definitely a Trey Kaufman. But he's somebody that's risen through the ranks himself and is going to be a player for local high major basketball programs to recruit over the next few years.
Yeah, most definitely. And he kind of like you, I'm interested to see him more and see how his progression goes. I'm not sure he's even a little bit underrated at this point from what I've seen. He's really long, you know. He's not a small guard by any means. I don't know what he's exactly listed at, but that kind of strikes you. He's you know, long arms, good wingspan for a guard. You know, very athletic. You know, just a really good player. And you know, I'm looking forward. Hopefully, can do something on him here. You know, as we get into, you know, preseason, into the season, going into his junior year. And I was even talking to my boss yesterday, Matt Glenesk at the Star. This 2021 class is just really, you know, not only super talented, but you've got, like you mentioned with Blake Wesley up at South Bend, it's all over the state. You know, it's really kind of everywhere with this class. And you know, Wesley's one of those guys who, you know, we don't get a chance to see quite as much being here in Central Indiana, but haven't seen him a little bit in AAU. He's definitely a guy that is worthy of, you know, I know he's top 100. I don't know exactly where he's ranked, but he's definitely a guy who's worthy of that. And you kind of put a bullet next to his name because you imagine with his attributes, he's going to be a player to watch. And clearly he's a priority for the in-state schools right now. So it's starting to get real for a lot of these junior class guys, and Wesley's definitely one that's right there at the top of the list in the state.
Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star talking college coaches back out on the road this week. Some recruiting stuff to start the segment. Any surprises this week with any player as far as schools that they brought in or the priority maybe that Archie Miller and the coaches have made some of the in-state guys in the younger classes?
No, I think it's pretty much all the names that you kind of expect. I know, I haven't started making my rounds out just quite yet. I was actually sending an email here as I was right before I started talking to you about, you know, getting open gym schedules, and we'll start to do that into next week. I know, Purdue and Iowa are schools that have been in at a lot of different places as well as IU. It seems like Iowa is almost like an in-state school as much as they recruit the state. There's no hidden gems really in Indiana. Every once in a while you have a guy who, you know, kind of pops out of nowhere, like a Dylan Windler from Perry Meridian, and there's a lot of times circumstances with a guy like that. Dylan only played basically one full year of AAU ball before he went to Belmont, and then, you know, of course he's got drafted in the first round this past year, but that's pretty rare. I mean, recruiting in Indiana is well-traveled. Kids are well-known for the most part, unless they're a late bloomer. It's not hard to believe how many schools are out, you know, watching these kids. And like you said earlier, I mean, this junior class and then sophomore class is really, really good. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. And, you know, some of those guys, you know, will not end up being maybe what we thought they were, and some other kids will pop out of nowhere a little bit. But it's in today's day and age, it's harder and harder to see where the guys are kind of hiding under a rock. You know, it just doesn't happen that much anymore. So, it's a battle. You know, and there's schools that really prioritize Indiana, and of course the in-state schools from a perspective of just, you know, making sure you keep that in-state talent at home, make that a priority as well. So it's always interesting, and then we'll kind of see how it plays out over the year. But I didn't really see anything that was too shocking or anything as far as where coaches were.
Kyle Neddenrip, Indianapolis Star, talking basketball to begin the segment. Kyle, obviously the fall period is an opportunity for coaches to get around and watch players, and it's a little different. I have brought this up from time to time, especially talking about the Jeffersonville coaching situation, that, you know, in the middle of September, you don't really see a coaching opening, but these are real practices. It's no longer just open gym. Sure, you do play some, and sure, some coaches may still have open gym and workouts that are similar to how it used to be, but nowadays, for the second year in Indiana, this is what's called a limited contact period. So when coaches go to watch players, these are full-out practices, maybe not just kind of meaningless scrimmage games. In some cases, coaches go ahead and start for the season now. They're putting in, you know, offenses and defenses and details. Other coaches may be missing some athletes right now that are playing fall sports and playing football and other things going on right now. So maybe they do more individual-focused stuff and skill work. But college coaches – getting an opportunity nowadays, and high school coach is probably the big beneficiary here, getting an opportunity really to work with their team in a much different manner than what they had previous to this year and last year.
Yeah, that's a great point. Because of that rule change, you used to be limited to, you know, what was, you could work with two or three kids at a time, basically, and then would just kind of watch open gyms. And I'm sure some coaches probably skirted that that rule a little bit where they could, but now that you're allowed to do that, I think it kind of gives you a little bit of a head start, you know, going into the season. I know from talking to coaches from the past, I mean, they used to be able to practice, and your schedule would start a lot earlier. You'd start, I think basically like the start of November, pretty much. So you have a lot of practices leading into that. So, I think that's a good thing. I mean, these coaches would rather, I think, go watch, a real practice rather than just a glorified, practice, which is an open gym, basically, where you're just playing up and down. And going to some of these practices last year, it was different. The coaches didn't have to just sit there. They could get out and work with their full team. So I think that's a benefit. And I think anything where, kind of like we talked about this summer, Matt, with coaches being able to go watch high school teams play in June, I think they like that. I mean, I don't know that it's a perfect system yet as far as that goes, where the which weekends are open and which aren't. But I think it gives them a little bit different perspective on what they're seeing. Maybe it needs to be, in my opinion, it should go back to maybe giving AAU another weekend, giving the coaches another weekend to watch AAU. But I think that was a good thing. It gives you a different idea on a kid rather than just seeing him with his AAU team. So, I think it's a good thing for coaches to see those practices, and it's good for the teams too. I think it's good for the coaches and those kids to kind of get into some actual real work and real practices before the season starts, assuming they're not playing, like you said, there's some kids who are playing fall sports, and that's good too. But if you're not, I think it's a good change.
Kyle, as we take a very early look through things, of course, Jeffersonville, big question mark. They're still going to have the talent. Who's going to be the coach, and how is that all going to mesh together? Is it going to be an interim coach? Is it going to be a permanent coach? But we know one way or the other, Jeffersonville has a real opportunity to have a special season if it all comes together. In addition, Silver Creek, defending state champion, at least two, possibly three Division I players on that roster, led by Trey Kaufman. Floyd Central is going to be good with Jake Heidbreeder. New Albany has Julian Hunter back, and I'm missing other players as well. But just looking at Floyd and Clark counties right here in our backyards, a number of teams that I think will register on the statewide scale as far as preseason rankings and as far as having an opportunity to have success as a team, and individuals within their team that will have success as well, whether it be from a recruiting standpoint or from other awards. I think we're in for a really good year from Southern Indiana. And as much as you and I talked about Romeo and Southern Indiana being put on a map because of some of the attention that Romeo brought to the area, not just New Albany either, to other players he played against and to some marquee matchups that were set up that fans packed in that may normally have not packed that game. It's great to see Southern Indiana answer right back with some continual classes of college prospects and some really good teams. And I've always thought our coaches here are very special in the way that they work, scout, and prepare for the season, for games. But I think from a statewide perspective, you're in Indianapolis, I'm in Southern Indiana. You do a great job in focusing on things across the state, especially when basketball gets here. Very proud of this area. And the season hadn't started. We can't claim a state champion just yet. We can't claim anything for sure just yet. But really surprised if this year and even next year aren't great years for a team perspective and for an individual player perspective for Southern Indiana to kind of stay on the map in a big way.
Oh, yeah, I would really expect that to be the case. And if you look at, you look at 4A going into this season, I'm not sure Central Indiana is going to be as strong as it has been. I think it's coming, and they'll still be very good, but a lot of those teams up here have really been hit by graduation. Lawrence Central, I think, is going to be the team that up here anyway, that will probably go in as the top team in Central Indiana. And Lawrence North is good as well. There's several other teams like Avon and Brownsburg that are on the rise and should be good too. But yeah, I think a lot of the strength returns. I mean, Silver Creek, you mentioned them. I mean, gosh, they got, two guys who are, Division I players for sure. And I know they lost a lot other than that, but man, that's a pretty good place to start when you got Kaufman and Jacoby returning. So, in Jeffersonville, like you mentioned, is loaded. I saw New Albany play a little bit this summer, and they definitely have some talent coming back. So, yeah, I think this year, you know, it's going to be kind of all over the place. And as that junior class continues to mature and those guys get better, it's kind of all over the state right now. And whereas maybe last year or, you know, in the past, there's been, you know, you see at the state level in 4A, a lot of times those Central Indiana teams have been making it through. I think it's going to be harder and harder this year and probably next year too, because of the strength being elsewhere in the state. So I'm looking forward to it. We're looking forward to diving in a little bit more as I get into next week and not turn the page on football, but kind of split my time a little bit more. That doesn't sound like fun, but it is, and you know, it keeps me busy and keeps me having a job, I guess. But I enjoy, you know, the crossover makes it tough, but I do enjoy both sports quite a bit.
Kyle Medriff, Indianapolis Star, always with us Fridays. Kyle, enjoy high school football tonight. We will talk with you again next week here on the show.
All right, thanks for having me on, Matt.
All right, Kyle Medriff of the Indianapolis Star. And that's going to wrap up another week of the Hoosier Report here on the Big X Sports Radio. Back with you Monday at 11 o'clock. And again tonight, starting at 6 p.m., we have high school football coverage, our kickoff show, where we'll take a deep dive into the Floyd Central-New Albany football game tonight, which, by the way, has been moved back to an 8 p.m. start because of the heat. So don't forget about that. Also, we'll take a look at some of the other big Southern Indiana games and some Louisville games as well in our Kentuckiana High School kickoff show at 6 o'clock tonight. And then at 8 o'clock, we get into around-the-area coverage here in Southern Indiana. We've got Floyd Central-New Albany. We've got Jeffersonville, Columbus East. I'll have regular scoreboard updates. We'll get some call-in updates from other contests in the area as well. And then when everything is said and done tonight, you know what it is. It's the Southern Indiana Scoreboard Show brought to you by Extremenasium. I'll have all the scores, highlights. We'll have interviews with coaches that are victorious in week 4 of high school football, some media members as well. Make sure you tune in to the Big X tonight, whether you're at a game or at home or out and about. I'd love to have you with us for our evening long of high school football coverage. Have a great weekend. I'll talk with you very soon. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.